say. I don't know where I should go. I'm stuck in traffic on the road. I got my down the radio. It's tuned to KROX. Let's go, 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 let's go.
Man, I feel accomplished. I'm officially the man of the house, kind of, sort of. We talked about our Christmas decorations yesterday. I went ahead and knocked most, if not all of it, out last night.
Wow.
Got it taken care of, avoided the Halloween disaster, avoided a catastrophe of my house possibly burning down. Got it mostly done, so I'm feeling good.
And your reward, are you allowed to stand to pee again now, or...
I think so. Cool. I haven't asked my fiance yet.
If you're out of the doghouse?
I still do have to go outside, which usually I would like, but she does make me squat and watches me. So other than that, things are good.
When you say you almost burn your house down, what does that mean? I mean, that piques my curiosity.
Yeah, I use low... I guess, I don't know, voltage, wattage, I don't know what I'd call them. I use lights that don't suck up a lot of electricity, but I use an F-ton of them. I use a lot of them. So it does, you know, kind of have it exerts a lot out of the extension cords. And I had a cord going into a three-way splitter that I had way up in a tree because I left, you know how you leave your lights up year-round? I have a...
Okay.
...tree that I left up year-round because...
Oh, and it's harder to get electricity to go up.
It is. It doesn't
weigh more.
It's not like heat, where heat rises to the top. Electricity sits in the bottom.
It gets
really
so heavy.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If it gets really tall up in the tree, that's really pulling a lot. Huh?
That's why the lights at the top of the tree they're not as bright, if you ever noticed.
That's why you gotta have a real thick cord to get up in like one of those buildings downtown.
Yeah, it's science, man.
Science.
It's the way it works. You gotta push
it
through. But that cord had... apparently, over the year, got rain, got water in it, and splitters...
In your garage or whatever?
No, it was up... It's up in a tree because...
Oh, you just left it up there.
I leave one tree wrapped... Because I wrap the entire tree in white lights, and you can't see it during the summer because the leaves grow over it.
Seems kind of racist.
Well, I mean, you can't see any other color of lights in the dark, I guess. I don't know what you're trying to insinuate here.
Just move on.
I use those lights. I leave them in because if we have people over at the house, I'll plug in that tree and it lights up the entire front yard. Looks
so
pretty. That, says, this
when
is where
people
you...
come to your house for barbecue, you just go, hey, the one with the lights in the front.
Absolutely. But one of the
white lights.
One of the parts of the splitter had just completely burst because it kind of caught on fire, melted plastic.
Kind of caught on fire.
It was still working, but there was a certain section of the tree that was out, so I climbed up there. I noticed that, and I was like, oh, that's not good. Replaced all that, got it working, and avoided an entire tree burning down and falling on top of my house.
That is one of those things where I guess the nice part of me is happy for you, but the part of me that cares about this show... He's really upset right now.
Yeah, I wish that I'd burned down a tree and fallen on my rental house.
Just because of the nightmare you had trying to decorate your house for Halloween, there's a part of me that really...
storms and...
Just the idea of you burning, like, a tree. Oh, man, what if you were putting these on a cross and then it lit... And you had
these white lights and a burning cross in my front
people
yard.
People really think you're a bad person at that point.
Yeah. Luckily, it didn't happen, and I got everything up. The only thing that I hate about is I'm very paranoid about leaving the lights on for too long, and I don't leave them on overnight. I don't leave them on if I'm not at home.
Don't leave them on during the day.
So it's pointless.
Or the evening or the night.
Yeah, it's I do all this work to have them barely ever on. And there are timers you can use, but I'm worried about the voltage running through the timers and
voltage.
Popping those, the wattage, the lumens.
What you got here is too many lumens running through your cord.
It's gonna pop that circuit breaker every time.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
What makes today the greatest? Well, because on this day, something out of this world, completely unlikely, happened here in America for the very first time ever. Found this on the internet today, and it's pretty big because today is also National Stay at Home Day.
Whoa.
National Personal Space Day.
Oh.
National Mississippi Day. National Meth Day.
Yeah, apparently.
National Mason Jar Day. Which I think all those kind of have something in common.
Say, yeah.
It very much seems likely. But I chose this because I think this thing beat it all out. On this day in 1954 was the first modern instance of a meteorite striking a human being. It happened in Alabama, and
why
it
is that
happened
funny to me?
Because it happened in a very dumb, lazy kind of way. A meteorite crashed through the roof of a house into a living room. It bounced off a big ass radio and then struck a woman in the hip. The victim, Miss Elizabeth Hodges, was sleeping on a couch at the time of the impact. The space rock weighed 8.5 pounds.
Damn.
That is huge. So you think it would kill her. It didn't. Didn't permanently injure her. Pretty much just left a nasty bruise on her hip and her leg. So it shot down from outer space, busted up her roof, destroyed her radio, and just smacked her right in the leg while she was sleeping. Very random.
Carl,
very weird.
I said I didn't want none tonight.
First time it ever happened, too, which you feel like stuff falling from the sky would be regular.
Well, it's the first time that it happened where we...
In recorded human history, yeah, there are Chinese records of people being injured or killed by falling meteorites or stuff from the space. But this is the first time in modern history it happened to a human. In 1911, a dog in Egypt was killed by a meteorite. So it has happened to our four-legged friends before.
That is some final,
Final destiny?
That is some final destiny. If you get hit with a piece of rock that's come from all the way across the universe, and then goes through our atmosphere.
Was something part of something much bigger traveling?
There's some
immense speeds.
Two things: either karma's real or absolute chaos and chance are real. One of the two. Both of them are great, but man, I gotta tell you, you gotta also, you almost want to die. So, because you don't want to have to live and be like, "Yeah, I'm the guy. I got hit by space debris."
It's why I got that limp and the gimp leg. I wondered, because meteorites are worth a lot of money. I wonder if she was able to sell it, and maybe it was kind of like winning the lotto, got a couple of $100,000 off this thing. Who knows?
I can't sell it. It chose me.
And
space rock chose me. I can't sell it. It chose me.
And knowing the way insurance works, this wasn't covered.
Oh,
there was no
not.
Meteorite protection plan or anything like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I should have looked more into this to see if she made any money off of it or like what happened with her fate. She's probably buried with the space rock. But now, in modern times, the big problem people worry about now is we've got so much crap up in outer space in lower orbit from satellites, pieces of ships, rockets, all kinds of crap.
Well,
that's just
yeah, like the
around.
Russians just blew up a up a satellite a week ago.
Now the big worry is the amount of space junk that's going to fall eventually back into Earth. And though a lot of it will dissipate, a lot of it most likely is going to hit the ocean, there's still a chance that this crap will hurt us. It's also even a problem for launches now hitting that stuff. So, who knows?
You ever DM'd a girl a photo of your space junk?
Of course I have, yeah. A very molten...
Stop.
Okay,
you should just make fun of me for even bringing up the joke. You didn't have to also dive into it.
You like these meteorites on your chin? Makes no sense.
I don't mind being stupid. It's Tuesday. I feel like being stupid.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
All right, let's open up the dungeon doors. Let our producer Spencer out. It is time for Spentertainment. That time of the day when Spencer comes. And if he entertains us, he gets to stay out of the dungeon. If he doesn't entertain us, back into the dungeon.
Oof, man. All right. Got a few tech stories today, gentlemen.
That's what I love.
Ooh.
Sweet. We got some politicians pushing a bill to outlaw bots from snatching up online goods, scalper bots, essentially. So for the likes of like some
eBay
computer parts or PlayStation 5, for example, which CJ had trouble getting, there's a bunch of dudes, women too, I assume. I don't know why I just went
tickets
there.
Tickets for concerts.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just
a
bunch
problem.
Of, I mean, if we had a Tickle Me Elmo thing coming up for Christmas, they'd just buy the hell out of this and sell it to you at a higher price.
Wait.
So third market kind of thing.
I'm confused at how you can regulate that. So you can't create... You can't see a need in the market and go create a bot and corner it?
You can still.
Right.
That's why,
yeah.
That's why they're creating a bill.
But it's essentially scalping.
Yeah,
it's
scalping.
Using technology to scalp and create an artificial demand or an artificial supply problem for products, driving up the price. Making a profit for the people that didn't create the products.
Just, thank you, CJ.
Just third
economics.
Market, third
economics.
Market stuff. It's not good.
It's not?
No, not at all. I don't think. I mean, ticket scalpers.
All right, commie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They didn't make the product. They're just
They're just selling it for several hundred dollars more.
Yeah.
If
so you can get it for the kiddos.
And using technology to game the system.
Mm-hmm, all right, we can move on from here. I'm outnumbered. All right.
Man. Yeah. I'm sorry. Twitter's banning the sharing of photos and videos of private individuals that haven't signed off on it. So
yeah, this makes no sense to me at all. At all. If you read it, like, they're saying you can't share any kind of photo of anyone,
right?
Unless that person has agreed to having that photo shared.
Got a consent. No,
so
it's a newsworthy picture.
If
so
classic CJ's bending over at HEB and my little butt cheeks are sticking out.
Unfortunately not. You got to keep that to yourself.
Someone can't take a picture of me and tweet and be like, hey, I saw the captain.
But also,
looks like his ship runs a little deep.
It means that any media company that just takes a picture of like these people going in to see this video, concert. Somebody could see that and then report it to Twitter that, hey, they used my photo. I didn't give them permission, and you can get their account shut down.
That's a little bizarre, especially since
it's not even bizarre.
It's
just
a bad idea.
Completely not thought out. Jack's been gone for a day.
And they're already trying to take my right to take sneaky pictures of dumb people doing stuff.
They're saying
state by state law anyways.
They're saying they're doing it to protect people from being doxxed. But the way that they've written this, what do you want to call it, edict, new rule for their platform is
it's ridiculous.
Now they can't say oops on the exact same day they came out with it, especially the day after they basically sort of squozed out their own CEO. So they're just having to sit there with egg on their face acting like, no, this is what we meant. This is what we meant. It's just completely ham-handed, so...
And one last thing, they found out what's making marijuana stink.
What?
Skunky scent.
The skunk? Mm.
Turns out it's a sulfur compound.
Okay. There we go.
Yeah.
It smells like every rental house I've ever been in.
Thank you, sorry.
We explained
it. Smells like my neighborhood.
Proud of you.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Oh, lordy, lordy. It is Giving Tuesday. That's what's on tap for Parent Pickup. Parent Pickup. It's for everybody, but a particular nod to those of you who are sitting in a parent pickup line somewhere because you forgot to wrap it up during a wedding, and now you got 18 years of you're sitting there exhausted. Wait for that kid to get out of class. Don't worry. Holiday's right around the corner, and you get a break. It is Giving Tuesday. Probably, you know, we all know that the most important part of life is having the right clothes, the right shoes, maybe the right purse, the right phone. Being cooler than your neighbor. That's the most important part of life. But let's say one day out of the year you think, well, maybe I should make something else more important. That's what today's about, Giving Tuesday, where you're giving back, trying to help out other folks. And why not include your kids in on that? Researchers find out that kids who have parents who give generously or just at all are 20% more likely to be charitable and giving and considerate, actually, later on in their life.
Yeah,
so,
I agree with that.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice thing. I mean, look, we all know it. We see it growing on our Facebook streams, Twitter, Instagram, anything like that. That kind of look at me, where's my rights, where's mine, where's me, me.
It's my birthday, here's my Cash App.
Everybody's looking for me, and maybe it's time that, maybe I'm a Pollyannish, but I...
We.
I believe that eventually, we'll get back to that time where we can look after... each other. Experts also say, hey, look, if you're going to start donating with your kids and teach them a little bit about giving, first of all, be age appropriate. Young kids don't even understand money. Maybe have them make a card, paint a little rock that has the word kindness on it, and just set it out on a neighbor's doorstep or whatever. You're just teaching them, hey,
I want more bric-a-brac and crap from the kid next door. Thanks. Let's stack more.
The kid next door has never come to your house.
Stuff in my yard I don't want.
Yeah,
thanks,
no,
kid.
That little thing from the sex offenders registry outside of your house actually tells the kids not to go over there.
So. I know. My fiance, man, she was a buggerer.
So here's the other thing. Once your kids are a little more into understanding money and giving, make sure that you get into their interests. If it's not about their interests, they probably get bored in a hurry. But, you know, maybe they're into other kids, pets, animals, stuff like that. And teach them about matching. So, you know, so say, hey, look. If you're going to give $20 to a charity, I will match your $20. And now you're giving $40. Every charity out there these days has a way for you to give online.
It's so easy.
It's so easy to do. And today is Giving Tuesday. So after dinner, you can have a little discussion. Maybe you have someone in your family that loves cats. And you can go and I'm not going to tell you organizations to give to, but you could go find some organization that helps out with cats. Or my family, my whole quote nuclear and extended family, we've been giving to the Dell Children's. Oh. I'm trying to, there's kids in the car. Can we not make the herpes jokes during the kids in the car segment?
Hey, I've had it since I was a kid.
God, son of a.
You need to learn about it. Hey, kids, don't kiss a friend that has a big scab on their lip. There. It's educational now.
Actually,
kids don't
really kiss any of your friends without consent. And talk. You know what?
You know, no kid kissing. How about that?
Can you? Thank you.
Thank you.
Can you help me with this? I want you to be my assistant here and not make me have to try to fix your words.
I'm trying. Damn it. I ain't got no
don't
kid.
Don't yell the D word either.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Stop.
Hold. I'll edit it.
So here's the deal. Maybe sit down after dinner tonight, have that little discussion. Maybe you have a kid who doesn't have any money yet because they haven't gotten their allowance. No problem. Say, hey, I will buy a toy or a shirt. Anything that's in your room, I'll buy it off of you for $20. Then you can just donate that as well to Goodwill. And then that way you're finding a way to all contribute. And in the end, you become a better family and you feel really good about yourselves until tomorrow when you're back to fighting again. Hurrah! That's the American way. That's today's parent pickup.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
Got the 100 best inventions of the year. Maybe you're looking for some cool gadgets to give as a gift. Time Magazine released the list. 100 inventions that came out in 2021.
Here we go. We're going to list all 100 of them.
Every single one heavily detailed all the way from 1 to 100. No,
yes.
I scanned through the list and kind of went over things that I thought were cool or might apply to people until Time Magazine said, no more clicks for you.
Oh.
So, needless to say, I didn't get 100, but I found some cool stuff. The first, under accessibility to help people with different disability issues, are the Nike Go Fly Ease. It's essentially a hands-free shoe for easy slip-on and grip-gone. I made up the last part. Kind of sounds like marketing. But essentially slip-on shoes that grip you and they're easy to put on, easy to take off.
For people who may not have full use of their hands or full mobility, not able to lean over, put on their own shoes.
Also for my back-hurting ass that has trouble putting on shoes, yes.
Also for my son who's super lazy and hates to tie shoes.
Dude, me too. I hate that. I'm wearing slip-ons right now.
My son hates it. He's like, it's a waste of time.
No joke, my fiance, when I'm bitching about it in the past, just random times, she'll be like, you're such a little kid. I'm like, what? I hate it. It's dumb. It's freaking stupid. I hate tying my shoes. Then you got to untie them and take them off, but most of the time you just slip them off, so then you F yourself for the next day when you got to pick your shoes up and untie them before. It's a pain in the ass. Your son's a savant. He's
you
a genius.
Are my favorite 9-year-old coworker ever.
Thank you.
I love you.
There's the Samsung Galaxy Z Flip 3, a phone we both advertised earlier in the year. It's a phone that has a full digital screen. It bends, it folds, it breaks the mold. How does it do that? I have no clue, but it looks cool as crap.
I know. When we first started advertising, I was like, hey, can they send one so we
can
look at it?
Please let us play with it.
They were like, nah, they're in pretty high demand, and we're not going
to
send you
They were smart enough not to send those phones to a bunch of radio dudes.
I know.
Oh, does it break?
I know. I know they were. were. I know they were.
Google Maps Live View. This is in the category of augmented reality. Thank Google Maps giving you a glance at cityscapes and roads IRL-ish. You know how we have the maps that the, I guess, the cars drive around now and kind of, you know, every few years they'll update. I guess this is a little more like what's happening right now, right when. I don't know if that's cameras downtown or what, but it seems pretty cool. Speaking of maps, there's the MTA Live Subway map. Shows real-time movement of subways and will expand to more forms of public transportation, giving accurate arrival and departure times.
Oh, dude.
Must be like
that
nice.
That should be called the rat cam.
Yeah.
That's all that's going to be is just pictures of rats.
There's a giant red thing moving and then a bunch of tiny little red ones swarming.
Yeah. Wait, what
is that?
Is it just... Look, oh, the train's pulled away, and now there's two people smoking meth, and oh, now those meth people are, well, they're making a beast with two backs.
There's also the Culinea, I'm not pronouncing that right,
that's
tuna.
Fine.
The what?
I that's fine, there's no way, I don't know.
Culinea tuna, Culinea blends earthly ingredients like radish, bamboo, algae. Hey, if algae's good enough for whales, it's good enough for me.
Wait, where are we headed? They made like a vegetarian tuna?
Yes, because tuna are overfished. It's a huge problem. But it's
you can still get schooner tuna, can't you?
I guess so. Radish, bamboo, algae, and pea protein. with imaginative food science and whatever the imaginative food science is. That sounds like the stuff you don't want to eat.
That's crude oil.
One of the biggest... Probably in our year, COVID-19 home testing kits.
Yeah.
I remember last year when you could not even get a test.
You realize if you were in Europe, you can get like 900 tests for $1. And here in the US of A,
you get a two pack for like
25
30.
Bucks. Yeah.
It's not good.
I will say the convenience of having them at home, especially when you have two kids who are in the public school system, has been pretty handy.
Oh, yeah. That way you don't get poor Spinny and I sick.
Yeah.
There's the Lululemon Take Form Mat. And I'm like, wait, what? Lululemon? It's still that MLM housewife pyramid scheme is still a business?
Oh,
I didn't even realize that.
Oh, yeah.
After
so
that
much
documentary?
Money. So much money, dude.
Okay. So those are some of the best inventions.
But wait, what? You didn't even tell us what it is.
It's a Take Form Mat. I don't know. It's a yoga mat that takes form.
Oh, it's a yoga mat.
It's a cush thing. You take form mat. There you go. No clue. It's a great invention, though. One of the top of the year, but...
You're just trying to cater to our female listeners?
Pretty much.
I don't know. Y'all figure it out.
Buy it. Still no flying cars or hoverboards, though, so...
At least we got slip-on shoes.
Yeah, thanks. 101X,
Matt and CJ. Well, folks, we're doomed, and the climate crisis will never, ever, ever be fixed.
Son
because
beast,
the wrong people who are trying to help are in charge of trying to help. You know what COP26 was, right? That was that big... gathering of all the world leaders.
What can we do to stop pollution and reverse things?
Right. And that was a thing that's supposed to be a positive. It was the first time to get that many world leaders together. They were supposed to come up with some solutions.
Let me guess, big money doesn't pay for solutions.
No, it's not even
it's
where
not
you're
there
headed.
Yet.
It's not, your brain
okay.
won't go where this is because you are a normal person and could never conceive of this. No normal person could conceive of this.
Okay.
An organization, we all know that nuclear power is cleaner in the long run than coal or natural gas. We have some issues that we don't burn
disposing
it down
of
far.
Waste.
Yeah, right? But the organization behind that decided the best way to get the message out was oh God, to hire a flash mob to flood into the streets where COP26 was, and then everybody danced to this rendition of the 1983 kind of hit, We Need a Hero, except they changed the lyrics to We Need Net Zero, as in net zero pollution. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go.
It's gotta be clean and it's gotta be soon and it's gotta help people in the light.
Yep. That's right. Improv troupe.
Great.
Didn't even, they're not even timed doing the dance correctly.
It sounds like they say we need a pharaoh, which, as you know, the ancient pyramids were actually conductors of nuclear energy back in ancient times. I saw that on the History Channel.
I need you to refocus on where we are here, CJ. Is this what our hope is? Is this what our...
They're not even doing a good job.
No, they're not.
At least like
they were hired the day before, probably.
At least when South by Southwest hires, or a marketing firm hires improvers via Craigslist to do a flash mob thing during that, they get it down. They have good costumes. They're in rhythm. That group was clearly not.
Remember who the audience is for this. World leaders. World leaders are all murderers. And I don't say that
they're Bond villains
in a lighthearted way. I mean, every president we've ever had has sent troops somewhere to kill people. It's part of the job. You know that, well, there will be blood on my hands. If you're having to make those decisions where you're sitting there going and turning to one of your heads of one of your military branches and you say, will there be deaths? And that person says back to you, yes, Mr. President, there will be deaths. We will try to minimize them, but there will be deaths, right? That's the kind of...
That's who you're talking to.
That person is not going to go, oh, a flash mob.
See a bunch of geeks outside dancing.
Bunch of improv. We need a suggestion. How about net zero? Anyway, I listen to this, and here's the other problem with it. It's now been stuck in my brain for 24 hours. We need net zero.
Oh, no. Now you're going to get in my... God. Matt!
Sorry.
Damn it!
Matt and CJ, 101X.
Previously on Just Matt and CJ. Earlier in the show, I discussed some of the best inventions of the year.
You did?
But none of them seem to be life-changing and absolutely amazing for the technology and things we should have by 2021.
What do you mean? There was that Lululemon yoga mat. I mean, that changed everything.
Yeah. Well... in my research for that, I found a list of accidental inventions. These things are the absolute best. They absolutely changed our lives, but not on purpose.
Oh.
First and foremost, the microwave. Percy Spencer, an engineer at Raytheon after WW1, was known as an electronics genius. He was fiddling with a microwave-emitting magnetron used in the guts of a radar array when he felt a strange sensation in his pants.
Ooh.
Similar to you feel listening to my voice. A sizzling even, Spencer paused and found that a chocolate bar in his pocket had started to melt. He figured out why it happened, patented it, and boom, the microwave oven.
He was dead 2 days later from exposure.
The Slinky. Another Navy engineer, Richard James, was trying to figure out how to use springs to keep sensitive instruments aboard ships from rocking themselves to death. When he knocked one of his prototypes over, it crashed to the floor, gracefully sprang upward, righted itself, then kept rolling. Boom. It's Slinky. It's Slinky. Let me tell you, as a kid who had my parents buy me off-brand Slinkies, not the same. They do not work the same.
You got the Slonky?
I got the Slonky that rolls down one step and then tangles and gets stuck, and then you can never
guess
use
what?
It again.
Even the brand of Slinky, because I have one. The commercials as kids, it made it look like a Slinky was actually going to be your friend. Which is pathetic.
It's
pathetic when you think that our kids now have phones that tap into all the information the universe has ever known.
Headsets where they get augmented reality.
Yeah. We had a 99-cent spring that we were hoping would be our best friend.
That would cut the crap out of you if you touched it wrong.
It would do one step. That was it. It would never do the second step.
Another big one, super glue. Harry Cover was trying to invent a substance that would help, I guess, be a sight on a gun. Didn't work because it kept sticking. He got pissed off, forgot about it. 6 years later, tried to do something with airplane canopies. Same thing. The gooey mess kept sticking, but he noticed this time that it didn't need heat and it made an incredible bond. So he patented it, invented super glue. The pacemaker, something we'll all need someday.
Wait, but we should probably give a huge nod. The best part of superglue as an invention is, of course,
if you cut yourself in the wilderness?
No, that it's single use, because even though it says please replace cap, the cap's just going to get glued on there.
And it
never comes off. So it's single use.
Genius. They make so much money with that thing. They're better than Apple with it. Pacemaker is another one. They were trying to make a heart recording prototype. The resulting circuit did something to save people, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. This one's more interesting.
It's just, this thing saves lives, whatever. Here comes something else.
Wait until I blow your mind with this. Velcro. A dog invented Velcro. That's right. Something of an exaggeration, but a dog did play an instrumental role. A Swiss engineer was out hunting with his pup, noticed the annoying tendency of burrs to stick to its fur and socks. Later, looking under a microscope, observed the tiny hooks that stuck to burrs and fabrics. A few years later, several more experimentations, he invented Velcro. Last but not least, this one, another medical invention. This pill was initially developed to help relieve pain from spasms in the coronary arteries. It didn't work in tests. However, researchers did
got
find
boners.
During clinical
boners.
Studies,
I know where this is going.
A sexual side effect, and Viagra came to be. Accidental inventions that changed our lives.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
HBO has found writers for the Dunk and Egg Game of Thrones spinoff. It's your Nerd Report.
And now it's time for the Nerd Report.
I just wanted to say that, I'm a nerd.
That is right. HBO working on another Game of Thrones spinoff. And I'm very excited for it. Dunk and Egg, one of the most exciting tales in the Game of Thrones history. To me, in my opinion, the duo's adventures run parallel to huge moments in the Westeros timeline. The Dance of Dragons, the epic Targaryen Civil War, already planned, as you know, Matt, in 2022.
I'm so lost.
But HBO is already looking to make another big move into the other series. Mm-hmm. Let me explain it to you, Matt.
Please do. I'm lost.
The Tales of Dunk and Egg. It's a project that centers essentially around short stories, I guess, that kind of... George R. R. Martin wrote while he was writing Game of Thrones.
Dunk and Egg?
Dunk and Egg. That's the nicknames of the characters.
Oh,
it's based on
like
those...
This isn't like a really bad Dunkin' Donuts where it's just, I don't want an egg.
No, it's the pair that traveled the Seven Kingdoms together, meeting common folk and royalty in the realm. It includes the Hedge Knight, the Sworn Sword, the Mystery Knight, all compiled now into one book, and then hopefully coming very soon... into another HBO series, because as we know, Game of Thrones kind of piddled out and failed us. This one has a lot more of the big action that changed Westeros forever. And now, coming to HBO, I am excited about this one. Have you watched any of the trailers for Dance of Dragons? You looking forward to that? Matt, did you ever watch Game of Thrones?
Never seen Game of Thrones.
None of it. It's amazing. You should start. It's a good time to start binging.
I don't think so.
At least through the first four seasons.
Here's the deal. I haven't had any control over a TV in my house in over a decade.
But
right?
There's boobs.
Yeah, I got boobs in my house. I can look at anytime I want.
No, you can't. I know your wife.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's now, my wife chooses what we're going to watch, and I'm just happy to... Here's how I stay happy as a married person. I just stopped having anything that I like or cared about. And it just now life's way easier, man. I think there's some dudes out there hear me and are like, yeah, I've been broken too.
Okay, well, for the rest of you that love cool stuff, HBO's Dunk and Egg coming very soon. Another Game of Thrones spinoff, and let's look forward to many, many more in the future.
Are there going to be any Love Island spinoffs? Because that's what my wife cares about.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Have you been a victim of the luling effect? Turns out thousands of Austinites have and don't really even know it. I mean, they know that they're the victim of something, I just didn't know there was a name of it. That's right. Over the weekend, hundreds of calls went into emergency numbers.
Too much watermelon.
Austin Fire Department, all those things. And there was a really foul, eggy, sulfury fart smell.
So you thought it was like natural gas or something?
I didn't think anything. I wasn't here. People were calling. They were complaining. Is this a danger? Turns out, no. It's something called the Luling effect. There are oil fields out there in poor old Luling. And occasionally, when the weather's just right, cold weather overnight, not much in the way of wind, the sulfur doesn't rise and dissipate the way it's supposed to. The sulfur hangs around. And then in the morning, as the ground warms up, well, that sulfury smell, it makes its way northward. It goes past Joliet and Sea Willow, maybe even past Lockhart, right? Makes its way past Euland and Litton Springs, Niederwald, Mustang Ridge, St. Mary's Colony. Gets up there around Creedmoor, where people are still waiting in line trying to get out of the Rolling Stones concert. through Colton, Pilot Knob, Bluff Springs, and Sunset Valley. And then finally, into southeast Austin, where people go, oh my God, is that you? Did you make that? And then,
or is our house about to explode?
The fire department would like to let you know that, hey, if you smell a farty smell, please stop calling 911. It is not an emergency. The smell of fart is not an emergency. Now, natural gas has a very distinct and different flavor, if you will, and you can call about that. But if you smell something farty, well, that's just the Luling effect. So please,
or what we call the
panic.
Smell of money.
That's right. Also, sometimes on East Austin, where I live, you can get the smell of it smells a lot like horses, and that's the Hornsby Bend effect. Because that's where they make the armadillo dirt out there, and they're dealing with
giant compost pile of
human waste and stuff like that. And so sometimes it can smell a whole lot like poop. And so that's the Hornsby Bend effect. If you're ever outside and you get a really strong smell of skunk, or marijuana,
Spencer's house.
That's the Spencer's house effect. And you can get that anywhere in Austin or anywhere Spencer has been. And that there's really definitely don't want to call 911 for that. If you do us a favor, just call us here at the station. We'll give you a koozie or something. Just keep your mouth shut, because we really rely on him a whole lot, and we need him to stay out of the pokey, okay?
Should we do a Smells of Austin tour? Just drive it. Here's why this part of the city stinks.
Well, we
could. Downtown, it's a lot of pee.
Yeah. There's lots of good smells, too. Taco trucks.
Yeah.
A couple places that have Indian food that smell really, really good in town.
A little bit of cumin and curry.
Yeah. Over on the west side of the city, everything smells like Tory Burch. I don't even know what that is, but
some kind of fancy perfume. Love it.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
City of Austin making recommendations to, quote, change the character of 6th Street, our beloved downtown tourist and drunk attraction.
You mean shooting gallery?
That too.
Yeah.
Step one, stop letting 16-year-olds from Killeen come and hang outside of bars that have guns on them. There we go. That's one.
You made it sound like the bars have guns on them.
The bars do.
Yeah, I think that's a dangling something.
Participle?
modifier, misplaced something.
Wouldn't mind placing this dangling on your chin.
Wow.
Back to the news story. It's all part of the Safer 6th Street initiative that the Austin City Council is focusing on and ramping up safety efforts along our famous street. One of the goals is to bring a wider demographic to 6th Street District and to begin to change the character of the street. Let's go to KXAN and some random dude from New York in a Yankees cap for the report.
Jared Sanderson is in town from New York City, and he's checking out 6th Street for the first time.
Figured I'd gone to Nashville a couple years ago for Thanksgiving, had a good time. Heard this was kind of similar.
As the city of Austin focuses on making the 6th Street Entertainment District safer and more welcoming, city planning documents obtained by KXAN investigators shed light on what direction Austin may head. A potential pilot program would allow businesses in the 200 and 500 blocks of the street to use sidewalk or parking lane space for seating, dining, or live music, according to the documents. It reminds Sanderson of New York City during the pandemic.
Okay. Can I interrupt real quick?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, the 500 block, that's coyote ugly. Are we going to put cafe seating outside of Coyote Ugly.
I guess so.
And then a girl's going to come up and dance on that table.
Aggressively rip your tie off if you don't order the drink they're selling you.
The 500 block is also where the Velveeta room is, okay? The
comedy
club,
Are
you going to put cafe tables out there so the comics can sit there and smoke and go, I don't know why things aren't going better for my career.
You know what else is in the 500 block? Every club that rotates in and out every few years. The only restaurant I can think of is... Is the Jackalope in the 500 block, or is that one more down? That's 400, so they want a sidewalk seating, which, sure, fine.
What they're saying is, look, if we can make this, if we can make 6th Street more boring, there's less of a chance that 20-year-olds with guns are going to hang out around there.
And try to get and start fights.
Yeah, what they're saying is, we need to make it so that there's more lamos and tourists there, and it won't be as big, which, I mean, they're not wrong.
But that's also not going to happen at 2 a.m. when those people are downtown. And the other thing is I don't want to sit outside and eat on a sidewalk on 6th Street. It smells like urine. You're going to get constantly harassed by panhandlers or spice heads. It's
you have no
that
faith.
That is the last place I want to be. Plus, we've seen when they, during South by Southwest, they blocked off, they made less space for people to wander around 6th Street, made a big gap in the center, blocked off by stanchions and concrete where the police were to be able to get up and down the street easier. But all that did was pack people in and make everything more aggressive and dangerous.
I think what they're trying to say is they actually want to make it more of a destination, like the Gaslamp District. Gaslight District is very different. Gaslamp District over in San Diego or something, or they have their own problems there too. But, you know, if you had more restaurants and more different types of uses other than just shot bars.
But there's three guys that own all the shot bars in that area that don't want this, and it's not going to happen.
I will say,
they want to make money off their crappy shot bars where
it is gonna be
frat
weird.
Bros get in fights and then angry dudes that drive up from clean.
It is going to be weird when you're at the little beautiful romantic cafe seating that's just outside of the restaurant.
Yeah, and you watch a bunch of door guys kick the crap out of some dude from...
You get down on one knee to propose to your girl, and right then a guy's like, hey, man, can I get $5? I'm trying to get to Houston.
Real
just need $5.
Gotta
just
get
need $5
Houston.
To get to Houston. So,
yeah.
I mean, their solution sounds like, hey, look, if we can make this place more boring, we will have less foot traffic, and less foot traffic is going to reduce some of the issue. Again, they're not wrong. I just don't know how you win that.
Yeah, it's not. It's just.
Though it is not.
Not
I mean,
happen.
Even if you have just those three owners down there, it's no longer sustainable. They have to at some point realize that. I mean, I know they're still making a lot of money, but this is going to turn in a hurry. I just really see it really dropping off there. I mean, who's going to 6th Street?
Young people, tourists, and young people that want to get laid or get in a fight.
I mean, I go there occasionally just because.
It's fun to people watch.
No, because I'm a real street food junkie, and there's some good trailers down there.
Yeah,
and
we've already said there were only two places. You had a pizza place, and you had the bratwurst place. Now you have a lot.
There's, like, junkies going down there to score crack, and I'm going down there because I'm like, man, have you ever had a walking pupusa? A walking pupusa is delicious.
Dude, I'm telling you, you want to make 6th Street safe again, bring the Yassine brothers back. I know they were heavy into drug trafficking, but they made sure there were no fights, no shootings, no crap happening around their clubs that interfered with business. So you want 6th Street to be safe? Let's bring the real gangsters back.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
Today's people behaving badly, quite possibly happening right in our own backyard, our humble city of Austin, and a place we just talked about right in the heart of our entertainment district.
6th Street.
Yes, right in 6th. This is more 4th, 5th Street area, but you know what I mean. It's still the bar area out there. Multiple people are reporting on various Reddit threads. Yes, we know how newsworthy Reddit is.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, it literally is. People in radio and TV alike just steal content from Reddit, as you're hearing right now. But apparently there is, I guess we call them some bandits. I don't know. There are people.
Bandits?
Chunking full White Claws down from buildings downtown. which is dangerous as hell. Because if you hit someone with that, they're dead. But there are people reporting that White Claws are being flung from buildings, possibly condo dwellers, who knows. We all recall a couple of years ago the dude that used to throw rocks off the bridge and then help the police. But yeah,
isn't that the best use of a White Claw though?
to dome someone getting drunk. It's just dangerous, man. I cannot.
Where
believe.
Are they saying this is happening exactly?
Certain blocks around 4th and 5th Street.
But on which side of Congress?
I don't know. I dug in it more and read it. And one person, as Reddit does, seems to pieced a lot of it together and said the area it was happening is not where there are a lot of condos, but where there are a lot of businesses. And the business he thinks, which he didn't or they didn't name, believed there was a holiday party for a company. And that's when it happened last, I guess, Saturday.
So just a couple of a-holes in that business. A
couple of a-holes in that business chunking White Claws. But yeah, it's extremely dangerous, and you could kill someone. So it's not fun, not funny, not cool.
No, not
at all. And another dumb thing happening in our downtown area.
That said, have you ever experienced the pure pleasure of throwing something off a building?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's amazing,
great,
isn't it?
It's absolutely wonderful. We used to have a bridge by our house that was over I-40, 287. And I remember my neighbor's kid that we were friends with. He's like 2 years younger than us, but more of a little piece of crap than I was, just threw a big rock and actually hit a car. And it skidded. And, man, we got chased. And he got his ass whipped.
Really?
Yeah. It was, it sticks with me to this day. So
there's this thing that sometimes you people up in buildings think of themselves as being particularly safe. But, yeah, I've seen multiple videos of where someone has gotten into the building, gone up a couple flights of stairs, knocked on the certain door. When they opened the door, just pounded them in the face.
Kicked some ass. Yeah. I've seen it happen on other parts of 6th Street where, you know, there's various bars. Maggie Mae's is one. A few others where there's like that third store kind of bar balcony.
Right.
And there's been fights that have happened because someone upstairs has talked crap to someone walking down 6th Street and they said something to the wrong person.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Well, we should say, though, that it's terrible. You shouldn't throw a White Claw. Man. But also, I don't really know how my feeling is. I mean, I know what the right thing is to feel. But also, what am I expecting from people who are privileged enough to work for a company that has a holiday party?
Not here.
101X, Matt and CJ.
Time for another
Win Sunday.
512-835-1015. Today's...
We shouldn't have given out the number yet. Let's get out the trivia first. Today's what? We're going to do a little prize pack, right? From Rambler?
Yes. Thank you very much. I needed some sody to get me talking again.
It's okay.
Rambler prize pack. That's a 12-pack of Rambler, a t-shirt, and some other swag.
Yeah, I love Rambler. I've been enjoying repping them. In fact, following them on Instagram, and I saw that this past weekend or so, I saw some behind the scenes of some kind of video they were shooting. Now, they were shooting a video with a local Austin celebrity slash athlete. In fact, this celebrity slash athlete hails originally from Corpus Christi.
Joe Rogan.
Let me finish the goddamn son of a... Wait, is he an athlete? Is Joe Rogan an athlete?
Bro, you don't even know. He takes Alpha Brain.
Oh,
and then
I forgot
he does
about
it.
He does all that. Right. I just
and
think
then
it was...
a gorilla kettlebell.
I don't know if this guy does any kettlebell.
Okay, go on. I'm derailing you again.
So here's the deal. I forgot where I was. Where was I?
There's an athlete.
He hails from Corpus Christi. He is a BMX rider. In fact, a four-time street medalist at the X Games. He's performed on BMX at Fun Fest, South by Southwest. In fact, a lot of critics say that he has some of the most progressive tricks in the BMX biz, and can often be seen tooling around the city in a sweet-ass retro Porsche 911. I'm looking for the name of that athlete. The initials are A and R.
Okay.
The initials are A
Trying to find the athlete
R.
for our...
Athlete.
Rambler. Dude, I'm dying today. Rambler prize pack.
It's karma for cutting me off. BMX. Originally Corpus. Now here in Austin for over a decade.
Okay. I cleared out the phones. Let's see if this human knows who it is. Hey, caller, who's this?
Drew.
What's up, man? Did you hear the question Matt just asked?
Yeah, I heard him.
Okay, who is it?
It's Aaron Rodgers.
Hell yeah, it's Aaron Rodgers.
Dude, right away. I love that.
Oh, well, I knew that somebody out there would actually be a BMX fan and be able to answer right away, and that way we wouldn't hang on the line. Yeah, apparently Aaron was with some of the Rambler dudes shooting some badass video. He's jumping over cars and stuff up on a parking garage here in Austin. I don't know if they're doing ads or just for Instagram or what, but I'm anxious. Aaron on his own Instagram page said, hang tight, more to come. So that makes me think that they're doing something cool together. Anyway, what's your name, Drew?
Andrew.
All right. Andrew, cool.
Well, Drew, do me a favor. Hang tight. We're going to put you in touch with Big Baby Son, also known as Spencer, the amazing producer. He'll get your info, and you'll be able to come up there and pick up that stuff from Rambler. And,
we'll throw some other swag in there, too, because I'm impressed that he got that so fast. I don't think he had time to Google it, because that dude was also the first to call. I hung up on everyone right away.
Yeah.
First to call right back, knew it, so we'll throw some other swag in there as well. Cool.
Matt and CJ, 101X.
We've reached the singularity. The robots are taking over. That's today's Weird or Wired. That's right. Scientists have engineered what they're calling, I guess for lack of better terms, the first self-replicating robots.
Oh, great.
Yeah, they're called Xenobots because they come from some kind of frog that has Xena something in its name. I'm not going to take the time to learn it because I'm an idiot.
Warrior princess frogs, I get it.
I'm trying to figure they're creating life. They're replicating. The robots are... you know what I mean? They're reproducing.
Yeah, step one, they know.
Yeah, yeah. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Scary.
Okay. This isn't like a robot that you think of that looks like a person.
Yeah,
and then they're just building, and then they're building other robots.
Okay.
No, these are actually organic robots. So they're made out of cells, but they are created by humans to have one task. So they are actually organic robots, and scientists didn't set out to have them reproduce. They just started reproducing.
What do you think happened? Cells divide.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Yeah. We've all seen this.
They're weird little creatures that look like tiny Pac-Man-esque. I mean, they're not a perfect circle. They have like a mouthy thing in them. They don't do much, really, other than let scientists walk
around.
No, they don't bang. That's the crazy thing. They're able to replicate not through sex.
Oh, don't tell my fiance that. Go ahead.
Hey, why don't you save that for when we get to finally be on morning radio?
Because okay.
that's a morning radio joke
right there.
Yeah, they built these. They're the first robots constructed entirely out of living cells, okay? And in this case, it's stem cells. And then they just sprinkled a bunch of other stem cells in the water in another area, put these robots in, and the robots just start spinning around and kind of scooping up the loose stem cells that had spent like weeks in this pond doing nothing. But as soon as the robots get in there and start spinning around these other cells and grouping them together, those cells just suddenly start coming together, creating their own shape. And then they start adding on and start going out to scoop up more.
This is scarier than AI, Matrix, Terminator kind of robots.
We've gone full godlike, and we're on the edge of
creating something that will outbreed us.
Well, that'll actually be great. I mean, you got to let go of your ego. The human corpus, the body, won't be able to extend really that much further into the future. But if you want to have the human ego, you know what I mean? Like our brains and how we think and our feelings and our emotions going.
Our essence.
Yeah.
Our existence.
Then we need that to go into robots, because that's the only way that the human species really can stay around for a long time is for us to actually change our own species.
Let me tell you something else, bro. I agree. Go ahead.
I'm not trying to go full Joe Rogan experience. I'm just being a realist here.
But have you done DMT with these robots?
I have not.
Okay.
They're not a traditional robot. Like I said, they're not a species of animal. It's a new class of of living programmable organism, and scientists have come up with it. And yes, it means big changes are on the horizon, and yes, it means that we will eventually be unimportant as human beings. Don't panic. It's not going to happen overnight. You see how long it took for everyone to adopt VHS, and then what happened? Right after that came DVD. So really, you know, humans are going to get it on our own way.
You know what spread VHS and DVD and made it massively popular and profitable, right?
I guess.
The porn industry. So once that happens with these cells, then it'll grow. You have to wait till that industry adopts it.
Yeah.
So is it weird or is it wired?
Look, it sounds weird, but since I think it's the future and how we will get to travel into space and send human knowledge throughout the universe.
Okay.
I say it's wired.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Why do I risk my life, my limb, for nothing? It's all in vain. Every single bit of it.
I don't know what is going on, but what a change in your at. Are you okay?
Yeah, dude. We started the program talking about my efforts to secure a gorgeous Christmas light display in front of my house.
Right.
For all the neighbors, the dog walkers, people driving through. Even food delivery folks to see. And so my fiance got home a little earlier than I did. If you look outside, it is dark. It is pitch black.
It is.
Beautiful. Perfect timing to have the lights on as people take their pups and kids on a stroll before
she's
or after dinner.
So proud of you and really, and she's got to feel extra love for you right now because you made the house even more homey.
Special. Hey, babe, can you turn the lights on? No. Well, here's how you do it. No. She won't turn them on. Refuses to plug in my lights.
Oh, she just doesn't want to. I'm confused.
Well, granted, there's a bit of a system that I have of cords, and you have to open some windows and some difficult rooms to reach a plug off to the side because I don't want to overpower a certain outlet or a circuit.
Dude.
So it is a little more complicated than it sounds, but still, go plug in those 5 to 6 cords in different areas of the house so our light display
will
be going.
You're running cords through the windows?
Yeah, that's part of why I can't have it on when I'm not at home so someone doesn't break in and steal the worthless crap I got.
CJ.
Yeah, dude, she was like, no, she's not. It's my paranoia of not
what
wanting to start a fire.
What kind of National Lampoon Christmas Vacation household are you running?
You described it very properly.
Yeah.
That, exactly. Lots of lights, lots of glow, lots of weird plugs in weird places that you occasionally have to have the window or two open to get inside to plug in.
When you were talking about it, I was going to lend a helping hand about some good timers and stuff like that, but I didn't know that you were plugged into 30 different outlets to run the light show at your house.
Yeah, yeah. You would need a lot of timers, and those are like $12 a pop. And the timers, I don't know if they can handle the heat that's coming through the extension cord. If it would melt them.
I haven't figured you out. I've known you for over a decade, and I haven't figured you out. Well, just the you.
There is, let me describe Christmas lights to you in a picture a friend of mine put on Facebook back in maybe 2006, where my roommate had people over for a dinner, and I was outside on a ladder at the very top of the ladder to the place you don't stand, and I had 6 or 7 mop handles, broom handles, and other large items duct taped together and was hanging Christmas lights with that device in order to get to the top of the tree. That is what I do.
You do have... You ever see one of those videos, it's generally a different country, Turkmenistan or Kyrgyzstan, and there's a guy who's where they've taken like what's left of a car, but it's actually just a motorcycle in the middle, and then they've put like plywood all around it and then built sort of like a homemade bus, but people have to stand on the front and the back to balance it or whatever, and then there's also a goat
kind of
on
thing.
It or whatever. It's just like everything you do ends up working.
Yeah.
It's just you go about it in a really unique way.
If I'm someone you want on a desert island with me because I can MacGyver some inventions, I have a specific engineering skill set.
Yeah, but there aren't going to be any windows on the desert island, so I don't know that we're going to be able to use whatever you've MacGyvered.
That's true. You know what? This reminds me of a thought I had last night. Weirdly enough, when I was a kid and had clubhouses.
You mean right now?
Still right now. When I had clubhouses and tree houses, we would have wars with other clubs, and so I would scrounge around through my dad's stuff to make weapons. And one of my favorites that I got in a lot of trouble was the spring gun, where you would take apart his fishing poles, and you know those latch hooks that go on screen doors?
Mm-hmm.
You take that bad boy out, you screw it into the back of the fishing pole, the rubber part, and then into the wood. Then you know those weight things that have five springs on them that you
sure.
pull back and forth? You pop those bad boys off, put them in the end of the fishing pole, pull them back, put them on that hook, boom, you got a spring gun. I was able to make five spring guns out of my dad's workout equipment, screen doors, and, of course, some of his fishing poles. It's just what I'm good at, engineering things out of crap I find.
I won't give you his name because I don't need you to attack him, but somebody did DM me, who's a listener, and then all they wrote to me was, why is it that I think that CJ is probably way older than I actually think he is? I was like, you nailed it, dude. You nailed it. You go ahead. You can keep. I'll shut up. You just play. We got to get Headley. Okay.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Sir.
Most of the time.
Wait. I would.
Penis.
I like it when we talk at the same time.
Yeah, were we just doing an improv exercise?
No, I looked over at you, and when you looked at me, and I thought you were looking at me to tell me to talk, and instead you were looking at me to tell me that you were talking.
No, I was looking at you to tell you to talk, but then I was like, oh, you were looking at me like you didn't have anything to say, so I looked at you like, oh, I'll say something here.
Well, it's been very productive. It's been a very productive meeting we just had.
Look at this. We're growing together. We're learning how to do radio.
Hey, speaking of productive, incredible show today. I managed to do almost all of my Christmas shopping during the songs and commercial breaks.
Tight! You got yourself done? Oh, dude, yeah, it is payday, and it is time to get all that done. However, our dear friend Carissa McAtee up in Waco, I no longer have access to her Amazon Prime account. I'm going to need her to give me that new password.
Meanwhile, she's in the hospital right now having a baby.
Having a kid, yeah.
You're like, hey,
By the way,
do you own anything? Like, I know your wife-to-be, she pays for all, like, the streaming services.
Yeah.
And then you get passwords from everybody.
No, just Amazon.
Okay. Hey, look, I didn't mean to put you in in a defensive corner.
You didn't. I think Amazon's the only one I.
Well, and that's actually disappoints
scoop
me.
Off of, yeah.
I thought that was kind of your brand, was to get through life, skating through, having a good time. I didn't realize that you suddenly were turning into the man.
No.
I thought I'm the old boring one, and you're the young fun one.
I mean, I am, but it does piss me off when I pay for something and someone's like, "You got this for free."
What?
I don't know. I think
you can't even name something you've paid for?
I do have an example that where this mentality comes from. Back in high school, about a year out, Dave Matthews Band tickets in Dallas went on sale. And
the story is already good.
A group of buddies and I decided to go. And so I spent hours on Ticketmaster finding us great seats.
How many hours did you spend on the internet?
Quite a few, because back then the internet wasn't so great that all these ticky-tackers have now. So I get these great seats. I get us a hotel close to the venue.
I get us a great seat to go to the hotel. Hotel, ha, ha.
Turns out the hotel is garbage because it is in a crap part of town, which is anything in Irving. So, you know, then I had friends bitching about that,
right.
that I got as a bad hotel. I'm like, I didn't know. I was 16, 17 at the time.
Was anybody bitching about the fact that you were taking them to go see Dave Matthews?
Hey, man, we were in high school. Everyone was into Dave Matthews then, okay? Okay. We get to the hotel, and then our buddies Bryson and Justin meet us.
They don't need tickets. Bryson and Justin, if your names are Bryson and Justin, you get into Dave Matthews for free.
Pretty much. These dudes are also famous for stealing the inflatable Coors Light can that was like 40 feet high from Sweetwater, Texas, and later getting busted in Amarillo, Texas, because they blew it up during a party.
Yeah, of course.
And they hitchhiked with it, and so that's... anyhow, these asshats stay with us for free in the hotel, because like, hey, can we crash with y'all? We'll sleep on the floor. Sure, why not? They think about going to the show. They're not sure. People are scalping tickets for a lot of money. They go online and realize a trick that I now realize. The day of shows at giant venues, especially amphitheaters, they release the orchestra pit and holds that day. So as we're in our great seats, quote unquote, these two moochers waltz right past us through several layers of security to their seats 10 rows back from the stage versus the more expensive tickets that I got a year in advance. So no,
wow.
I don't like shortcuts. Cool story, bro.
Did they get to get up on stage and play the fiddle?
yeah, man. Dave kissed him.
Did they?
Very sensual.
Who out there wants to play the tenor saxophone with us? I'm sorry, the soprano saxophone with us?
That's sad. He's dead. Okay, Leroy Moore, the saxophonist from Dave Matthews Band, died like 10 years ago. That's a
sad
little
weird. Or that's awesome that he's free?
Free from his crappy college music. Come on, man. Come on, dude. Don't be mean about that.
I'm just mad because my wife has a Dave Matthews Band tattoo.
Dude, every time you're making a baby, you have to stare at that dancing Nancy thing on her back and just it gets stuck in your head. I get why you hate it. That makes sense. Well, good show, man. I had fun today, didn't you? We're going to head out of here. It's just Matt and CJ on 101X. What? What?
Nothing. It's great.
Okay. Yeah, Just Man CJ 101X. We'll be back tomorrow. See you then.
Matt and CJ. Afternoons 101X.